Is it a
I'd start, Nancy, but the screen's a little fuzzy here, so I can't tell if we're really on or not. Good morning, everybody. We have a quorum. I'd like to start our meeting, if we could. Call our meeting to order. First order of business is our public comment period. And we have a distinguished member of the public this morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Janice.
I'm Janice Peters. I'm the mayor. And I decided that I would come and just tell you about something that we've been talking about at the council level. And give you a little background as to where the discussion began, just so you're aware of what transpired. With our budget cuts, we're looking at all budget cuts. He was very amenable and very helpful, and just wanted to say, you know, they'd work with us whatever we had to do during this tough time. And I took Mr. Hendricks and Bill Pierce, who had been on the promotions committee before, with me to that meeting. And after we talked about just the budget and that sort of thing, we got to talking about your committee specifically, and that the directive that you had been given some time ago about promoting Morro Bay outside of the area was not really all that we need now, and perhaps we needed to rethink how you did your job as promoting Morro Bay and what that should include given our situation now. The changes with the website and how advertising is done have changed drastically in the last few years. The internet has become the primary way, I think, that people shop before they go traveling. So we were looking at all of those things, and we looked at the people on your committee, and you seem to fall so well into the different categories that, and again, this is just talk, this is just a conversation we had, but we got excited about the idea and the concept. And so I sent all of you our idea about how we thought the promotions committee as a group might be able to better promote Morro Bay, develop business and promotion for Morro Bay, as well as just promoting what we have now, and can do promotions together. I know that's been hard. I know it's hard to get that kind of cooperative attitude with some of those, but we were hoping that maybe we could do something like that, with the reward being listings and links on the website once we get the website going really well, which is not, again, I'm not criticizing anything, and please don't consider it that way. This is all just thoughts that we had on how we could maybe do things a little more excitingly, a little better. The business development, this would be not only promoting current businesses and thinking of again, co-op ways that they could do events. Maybe we have an Antiquers Paradise Weekend or something like that, and promoting our local businesses to the community, outside the community, whatever, looking for promotions for existing businesses, and also looking at what we don't have and saying, you know, guy, we really need this or that, and maybe we can do some outreach and try and get that. See if they could develop some ideas on places that we needed to go. And for that, we thought, oh, gosh, well, Meredith Bates and Bill Clayton both have their own businesses. That's kind of a natural. Tourist promotion, obviously, that's been your purview and needs to still continue to be very important for us. And Ed Krovitz is working at the Visitor Center. Trina Doherty's up at the castle. Obviously, you've got hands-on experience with our tourists and visitors, and that's really valuable. So we thought, you know, have you two straighten everything, that it would be great to have him do sort of a website coordinator with reaching out and looking at other websites, seeing what kind of promotion is done in other places. And again, this just came out of a casual conversation, but we got kind of excited about the concept. So I gave it to all of you so that you're aware of it. The council's not made any decisions on it yet, and certainly we would appreciate your input before we do so. It'll be on our agenda sometime in July, probably. So I just wanted to come and tell you where it all came from. Nothing was done behind closed doors or anything like that. It was just an exciting conversation we had, and we wanted to pursue it. So we'd like to pursue it with your input as well. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to ask that we agendize that for our next meeting, if we could, to discuss that idea.
We're going to be too late.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. They said that, I was just writing down, they say it's on late schedule in July.
And
this
is
our June meeting.
We'll schedule ours for July.
Yeah, if we schedule ours for July, great. Thank you. That'd be better than trying to call a special meeting to talk about it, I think, for everybody. Yeah, it is kind of it is interesting and something, you know, and I know that comes up almost every meeting, thanks to David mostly, but.
if I could just add, I think really where it arose was that, as Janice said, we had this meeting really, I did it to really assure the mayor particularly, and then as Bob and Councilman Pierce were there, that our agency was committed to doing the best we can, even though our compensation is going to be cut in half, it wasn't going to be half service. And that's really why the meeting, why I wanted to have the meeting. And then as we talked about it, they said, well, what do you need? I mean, what could be, you know, what's going to be better for you to have? And I said, well, one of the things that's been tough is that we're going to need to have more cooperation from business and hotels. And I said, we're already kind of on a fast track with having a public relations subcommittee, because I have to have the information. Once I have the information, then I can get it out, but it has to start somewhere. I have to have somebody that has the pulse of the town giving me this information. So that the PR subcommittee kind of was really the example, and we thought, well, maybe it would be wise to have some other subcommittees that could give you the information. And I had a frank discussion about, you know, the last gas promotion we had and how we didn't really have any other hotels step up. And I said, you know, we can do all the promotion in the world, but if we don't have the product, if we don't have the offer, it's not going to succeed. And that's really where it came. And then it kind of evolved, and we tried to get that going. And I think next year, to make this thing work, we're going to need greater support to stretch the budget through co-oping and sharing and, you know, things with the county as well as inside the city. And that's really where it evolved. And I think it could be something to really think about.
Well, good. Well, we'll get it on next month's agenda and spend some time kicking it around. It might be good timing, too, because we, you know, hopefully won't have a lot going on that we can't, you know, spend some good time with it. Just to note that I don't know about Meredith, but I know John Solu and Trina contacted me, and they weren't going to be able to be here today. So, also, if I could, and I know that future agenda items is down the road, but while I'm thinking about it, I'd like to add discussion of our current meeting time next month, too, if we can get everybody here, because I'd like to kick around if there's a need to readdress when we're meeting. Okay. If you've had a chance to look at the minutes of our last meeting, there's a correction under the motion that was made to approve the minutes last month. I don't think this is appropriate to have the same person make the motion and second the motion. Thank you, Ed, for bringing that to my attention.
You're welcome.
Any other? Can we get a motion to approve the minutes, unless there's other corrections?
I'll make that motion with the correction.
Okay. We get a second?
I will.
Push it. No, you won't.
Push. Try the other microphone. There, it was green. I will second that.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Thank you. Monthly reports. Visitor Center.
Good morning. The first page of your report this year. Yeah, we should.
Well, let me go back.
Yeah, we should discuss the time of these meetings. For this month is a letter from the office of Tom Bordenaro. They had a California Assessors Association regional conference back in April, I believe. Yes, mid-April, and we provided some of our materials for them, and we got a thank you letter. I put that in your packet because I realized that while we're sending things out and doing things often this month, on your May statistics, I just wanted to note again that the total visitors is up. We had over 2,500 visitors at the Visitor Center in May 2004. We had 1,798, which, as you may recall, we were down on the Embarcadero in 2004 in May. So that's an increase over last year.
So it's been a year?
Yes, it has. We were there a year in April.
Wow. Good.
I know. It sure goes fast, doesn't it? On the same page, I'd like to also direct your attention to the promotional mailings for March. National Geographic, Travel 50 and Beyond, and the LA Times are all the leaders, but especially Travel 50 and Beyond, we had 902 responses. from that ad. And then the only other comment that I had was that on the 800 calls, 48% of them for the month of May came from Southern California. And I do believe, after checking, that's a direct relationship to our advertising for the month. And that concludes my report.
So do we? Are we kind of caught up again with our...
that we start getting statistics on database? And we said that we would have that.
Right. We've pulled all the statistics that we can get from Urchin, and we actually need to go over that with Jeremy, because to bring everything that we can get to this committee would not really help what you're looking for. So we need to get together and discover what it is that is going to actually help the committee make decisions on marketing, so that we can bring to you what you feel you need. And right now we're in a vacuum. So we need to get together with Jeremy.
We'll have it for you next meeting.
Okay.
So go ahead, Bill.
I can't understate the importance of the database. And that's why I keep bringing it up, because in the progress of this committee and the website and where we have moved over the course of the last 8 years.
Right.
The next step is the database. And back when I joined this committee and we just database,
right.
Especially in this time where we are working with a short budget, it is going to be the most important thing that this city can do as far as advertising, because the people that visit this town are already showing an interest. They're already here. I talked to Ed, and one of the things that's not being done is getting an email. I mean, that should be like the most important thing that you get from the tourists that come through, and it's not a priority to get that email, as far as I understand, when
they walk into the visitor center. No, we don't.
Or phone calls.
We don't ask the visitors who come into the visitor center for their email. But I did want to assure you, we are collecting the data, but the report is a 17-page report. It's not practical to do 17 pages times 10 to see what little piece of data in there is most important to this committee for your purposes. And that's what we're trying to dissect. And maybe it would be good if we could get you to come with us to meet with Jeremy, so that we could find out exactly what it is that you want to see here for the committee. Because we want to do whatever is going to be beneficial for you to make decisions.
This is the next step for the website. And it's maybe more important than any other step we've done. And so I'll kind of harp on it. Not that I'm not coming down on anybody for not, but I want to make sure that everybody understands just how important that's going to be. That's going to be the most valuable piece of information and the best tool that this committee or whoever is going to be working doing the promotions for the city is going to have available to them.
I think that, and this something I was going to cover, but I think that with the decrease in our budget, and I completely agree, we're going to have to find ways that do things that don't cost us a lot of money. And one of the things that I agree with you, I think one of the things we're going to have to propose is that we start hitting that database, because it doesn't cost us very little to do an email to them, and maybe we want to look at doing it every month.
Sure. At least every event we have. We talked about this yesterday. The surf event, the skateboard event, this should be hammered out. A special that a package, a golf package, anything we can do. It's a matter of you doing
the database that we have, that we're collecting emails and the things that people are interested in that we got into a couple years ago. But then you've got the web stats. And you're talking about the web stats, I think.
Correct.
And I don't know that they're two different issues.
Right.
So I think it's a lot easier to define what we'd like to see as far as the web stats go
but a separate report would be on the database behind that website.
Correct.
And as a, you know, yes, it would be, to me, I'd rather know how many unique visitors we had than how many web, that how many hits we had. I'd like to know our top five referrals, you know, something like that from the website. Who's, you know, where are these people coming through us? How are they finding us? Is it just going to .org through Google? Are they finding us? You know, those kind of things. And those are the web stats. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, I've looked at them. We don't know. We don't care about how many, what robots. We don't care about, you know, all those other issues.
It's what I'm trying to do is push us into the awareness that we need to gather as many email addresses from as many sources as we can get. And we have the website to do it. We also have people, let's go to Harbor Festival, or, oh, wow, did you know that the World International Slalom Championships are held in Morro Bay, right on Main Street there? Let's go in for the weekend. It's the most important thing we could be doing right now is gathering as many email addresses, and that's kind of why I'm pushing you a little bit. It's the next step, and I try to do it gradually because the first time I bring up something on the about the internet or the website, everybody just kind of look at me.
Not
it's like what is? Yeah, I know. But at first, it was kind of there was
I
people didn't have awareness. I mean, I go
and
back.
Come a long way.
We have
and
come so far.
You were the driving force in the beginning, but you have had an awful lot of support from the staff here to make sure that website is up and running.
Absolutely.
And in good shape. We have been collecting emails throughout. We are passively collecting those from the people who walk in. And you're right, we have not aggressively done that. There's a couple of reasons. We often have visitors come in, and the people who are addressing those visitors are volunteers. It's very difficult to train a volunteer. Training is going to get better, but we've had a complete turnover, and I just really didn't feel that it was time for us to say, okay, we need to start trying to get those emails from people walking in. It was something that we did discuss, but we have to be careful on how we ask people for information. And last meeting, we talked about a survey and the software, and I don't know what the result of that was. So is there going to be, because that's going to help us. If we're going to tell them that we're going to survey, then we have a tool to use, and that's what we need. We need a tool to use. We can't just say, thank you for coming in. May I have your email? Because I'd like to tell you, you know, more about what's going to happen. And it sounds good to us, but it's always suspect on the other side. So we have to be very careful. We're marketing to these people, and it has to be in a positive
right. Well,
light.
Right. I'm not putting down where we're at. I'm trying to increase awareness of where we should be going.
Well, what I'd like to do is propose this, because I know Kim has got a full plate. I could take on the responsibility of getting these stats. I think it's really, I can just talk with Jeremy. I'll kind of determine whether we want to have him at the next meeting. If it looks like that, you know, it'd be valuable to have him here to answer questions as far as, like, you know, what can we get. But I could meet with him initially, and I think it really would just be a matter of him, because I've asked him before, difference, you know, when we had, you know, 300. Did it really, you know, warrant?
Right.
But we've got a few thousand now, probably even more than that, because we just did another, you know, LA Times email campaign. And I think what we should consider is not only the stats, but then how are we going to increase people to subscribe to the newsletter? And what I was going to propose is that we put an incentive on there where they can win an overnight stay, and that it goes right on the home page. Once we get this webcam set up, that's a natural place to put it, because I guarantee you that will be the number one most hit spot.
Sure.
Will be the webcam. And, you know, there's no reason
why
that
can't be on. A little register
there.
Login.
Mm-hmm. Or just a tile.
Where you get a little bit of information from them. I think almost every website I go to now, they want you to register and log in.
But I think if we give them and we've talked about it, we just never have really done it. I think now it's time to just do it. We need to, you know, either it comes out of the promotions committee budget, or maybe the hotel that gives us the overnight stay gets to have a banner ad on the website. I mean, I don't know how that would work. We trade it, because we don't have a lot of money to pay a hotel to do it. But the hotel shouldn't just, you know, have to give it away for free either. Maybe there's a way that they could share that sponsorship on that page. but then to give an overnight stay, because people need an incentive to sign up for the newsletter.
Right.
And I think that, so it's twofold. One, it's getting this.
Hey, we'll do that once a month.
Because it could be an ad for them, because obviously you're going to want to talk about the property and what you're going to get. And,
right.
And so I can get, I'll take it upon myself to get the stats for the next meeting.
Okay.
On the database. Now, what happens, you know, in the visitor center, obviously, that's, you know, how we collect those emails. That's something that Kim's going to have to be involved with. But the stats and the reporting, I think I can take that on. And
okay.
I think that
and
what
Ed,
I,
since Ed's down there, and we talked yesterday, and he kind of clued me in on what it's like when he's working there. And I know he's more aware of the importance. So maybe there's a, instead of just a guest book, sign if there's a little more room on it, and one of the things is email address if you'd like to receive more information. People, I would. When I go to visit a place and I like the place, if I could, if there was a place, I'd put down my email and get more information.
We're certainly open to doing whatever we can. I think before we go out and actually do a sales job to get that, however, we need to have some tools, and I'd like to go back to the possibility of surveys, the possibility of having it.
I attend so many public events by nonprofit groups, and they all want your names on emails, and all I need to see on the bottom of the page or the top of the page is the two-sentence or three-sentence privacy policy that just assures me this email is being strictly used for this event and for this organization, will not be sold or used to anyone else. I'll accept them on faith on that one, and that's about the only... You know, and I'm one of your more skeptical consumers when it comes to preventing spam
right.
and things like that.
But our visitor
give
center,
us your phone number.
Yeah.
Our visitor center is set up where everything is on the walls. So we don't have, they don't come in and have a desk that they can, you know, pick up a piece of paper and read something and sit there and sign it. So we have some logistical things that would have to be worked out and some changes that would have to be made. And since Ed is there, I would hope that he would, you know, help us make that transition.
Sure. I'll ride down on the bicycle one day, Ed, if you'd like to meet down there. Yeah. Maybe we could do sort of a, what do they call that when you look at the feng shui of the place?
Yeah, the feng shui.
Figure out how to drive people by there.
There you go. I think that's perfect.
One thing that I'm amazed at, though, when I do answer the phone and I do talk to people who are requesting information about Morro Bay, I will many times suggest that we do have a wonderful website, and do you have computer access to the Internet? And the answer is no. There are so many people that I talk to who want information. Well, let's take the car. Yes, well, you can look at the web page. And I would give them the web page. They said, well, I'm sorry, but I don't have computer access.
Is this in the visitor center?
Yes, the phone, the people that call into the visitor center.
Because I think that doesn't surprise me, because I think that most people that are going to go to the visitor center, and I, you know, it probably would be good for me to go down there and spend a day and look, but they're probably going there because they didn't get it on the Internet. You know, they're still used to making a phone call versus going on the Internet, or they're going to physically go in there. I mean, I can just, you know, my parents would be that way. I mean, I could see my parents would go to a visitor center and talk to somebody. They don't want to go on the Internet, and they want to talk to somebody physically about it or make a phone call and not get voicemail.
Yeah, we take it for granted that everybody is computer literate. Many of the people, the demographics,
I was about to ask that question.
What's
the demographic?
Older, and they're in your parents' category, John. They just do not want to mess with a computer. They'd rather pick up the phone and call.
There is one stat, though, that just to play devil's advocate, that one of the fastest growing markets for email is seniors, because
yes.
they're finding that this is a lot less expensive than making a phone call.
They're learning.
And they want to communicate with their grandchildren, and they like getting the pictures of their grandkids. But it's not to say that's why we have a visitor center. That's why we still put the 800 number in the ad, because there are people that just don't want to do it that way. They just have not changed over, and they may.
You broadly discuss the database. But specifically, aren't you looking for how many people have signed up, how many emails we have in the database, rather than how many of those people are looking at golf? Or
correct.
Okay.
Although, okay, for the future and that first step, yes, emails, all of them, as many as we can get. The second step is then categories. That's how databases are used.
Well, then that's
okay.
how ours is
so,
being used.
Yeah, because you'll have you'll send a query to the database for golfers, and it'll give you all of those emails of the golfers, so you can send your golf package off. You'll have kayakers. They've checked the box that said they're interested in kayaking. So all of these things on a form that they can check off their interests can be used, and that can be farmed. But right now, for where we're at, just an email, how many emails do we have?
Would you go ahead and, you know, I know that when Jeremy was here last, been a few months, we don't need him here to do this. I mean, we already have the tool in place. All we need is a report off the tool. It just give us a broad that all we need is to see some numbers for the moment, if that's okay.
Sure. Well, what I'd like to do is take it a step further, and I was going to discuss this in under my agency report.
Your report's probably getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, it is. but we're, you know, I think we need to have a budget subcommittee meeting fairly quickly, because we had one and it was 10%. Now it's 50%. So obviously what we decided when it was 10 is going to change. But I wanted to meet with the budget subcommittee and present a pretty formalized marketing plan, because I think that we're the budget being cut to the you know, to where it is, we're going to have to do things quite a bit differently. And I've talked a little, kind of hinted about it in the past, and, you know, PR is certainly a part of that, where we're going to have to develop some public relation tools. In my opinion, my recommendation will be to do some public relation tools. So we're not going to be able to buy that media. We're going to have to earn it. And the same thing, and this is not just because of your discussion, although it's right in line, is the internet. Because we're going to have to utilize the tools we have that are effective but don't cost $7,000 or $8,000, you know, to buy an ad in Sunset. And part of it, and Billy's right, the first place you got to start is how many do we have? And then from that, though, the most important thing is what are we going to do with those people? And but we have another media plan now that covers PR and covers internet, and it's the same thing, you know, the same spreadsheet. So because in the past, the email, you know, we've kind of done them as we've gone along. You know, if the budget permitted, we emailed out, you know, and there's two types of emails. There's the LA Times emails, and there's our database email. But I agree. I mean, we've got enough numbers now, and the numbers will probably dictate, too, how much specialty we get. You know, if we only have 15 golfers, and I'm not saying that that's how many we have, but is that going to warrant producing a separate email? And, you know, but we have the numbers now in the general database to certainly communicate to those people, because, you know, we've got several thousand. And then how do we grow that? You know, that's another part of it. You know, hopefully we could maybe, you know, double that. And if there is a way to capture some of the emails, and I know it's difficult, but I mean, we had 2,500, you know, people come in. If there's a way to grow that, because we spend about $5,000 to get 2,500 people to come on the website, you know, through the emailing of the LA Times. So that obviously is not going to, you know, we may be able to do one of those. We're not going to be able to do three like we did last year. So we're going to have to find a way to substitute that.
I would say that as a model to study, it's when you're in a desperate situation, and let's say needing to raise funds is the same way one might need to encourage tourism, your database, and it has created its own grassroots rolling appeal as well. I think it was Meredith suggested it at a former meeting. We should all call someone who calls someone to tell them to come to Moore Bay. But in some ways, that's what the Move On type thing did over the internet, and that incentive idea, the free night in a hotel for signing on, they'll do anything to get people to sign on, and that does create kind of a rolling thunder. You wouldn't want it to appear as desperate as, you know, trying to raise money for Howard Dean or whatever they were doing to get the tourists here in Moore Bay, but that in a sense is the model that they use, because they were desperate to raise funds, or in this case bring a friend. Exactly, it's bring a friend over the net.
Right.
Or you hit, they had a space where you then send this message to four people, which every time you do that, increases your entries in the drawing to win the free thing.
Pyramid.
Right.
Pyramid. It is. And that's exactly what it was. It was an internet information gathering pyramid.
One other suggestion with regards to incentives, and you might just try this for the month of July, and I'll just throw this out. But if we're kind of self-serving, trying to do a self-help deal at the visitor center. In other words, you don't, I mean, obviously with 2,500 people coming in the door, it's hard to, you know, ask them all, and I definitely appreciate that. But I mean, usually when
it's pretty easy
to put something together for
a book on a music stand, actually.
If you want, I could, if the committee wants me to design a sign and make a box, you know, I can do that, and we can have it, you know, where enter to win and an overnight stay. fill out your, you know, enter to win. You know, I mean,
enter to just, win a trip to Morro Bay.
There is no work there other than compiling those.
Because you can put a meal together with lodging really easy, and you can get a kayak deal or whatever they want. It's not that hard. So,
well, I can design the sign and make the box.
Well, you work it out with Kim and see how you guys, what the best way to go about doing that. But I just think that that's an easy one that you're just saying, you know, you're not asking them for anything. You're just saying, hey, here's an offer.
An opportunity.
Yeah, it's kind of a friendly thing.
And that's what we really are looking forward to doing is making it an opportunity rather than saying, I want.
Right. So. Yeah, and I don't think it should be tied to the survey or anything like that. That's business.
Right. And yeah, I think Ed's absolutely right about the timing, because now it's July 4th is coming. Like, you'd almost want this box in place before the big summer rush crowd comes.
I'd almost consider trying to do it just for the month of July. In other words, you can't string, you know, you don't want to string people out that are signing up for this possibility of winning something forever.
I don't think people really think about that.
But we do that. High tech, isn't it?
Well, the opportunity could also rotate seasonally: fall, sure, summer, yeah, winter, spring. It's a rolling opportunity.
But if it's a bunch of little cards in a box kind of thing, and an opportunity for someone to drop their email address in there, they could do that on any day, and you could have a promotion in July that was around a stay in Morro Bay or something. But the opportunity to actually leave your email address there could be continuous. I mean, it could always be there.
Sure, and you just change the deal.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I mean, that to me, that'd be very, very fairly simple, and then whatever we needed to do, if we need to, you know, to pay somebody to log the emails or whatever, and I'll tell you what, from doing it at my place and collecting emails that are on our comment cards, good luck reading some of the writing. It's tough, but because you're up to that, leaving it up to that individual to write it down. But anyway, I think it's a fun thing. People like that. They like the idea of winning something, and they're in there at the visitor center because they're nice to begin with. So it ought to be pretty easy.
Expand this too to when you go to a trade show to have the same.
We do
offering. You do have
every time I go to a trade show, we collect emails and we give away. Well, you know this because we've given away nights at your hotel. We give away overnights in Morro Bay and special things, trips to Hearst Castle. We have another
somewhere in a notebook. Are those being put on, transferred to the database?
Computer. Well, what we do is sort of hand in hand. So what is not being done is that they're not transferred over to the newsletter. And that's something we should talk about, because maybe we could transfer those people into the newsletter and give them an opportunity to receive the newsletter and opt out.
Well, that's what this is all about.
Right.
I mean, there's no sense in having email addresses if we're not going to incorporate it into the workings.
Well, I think the change would be at what I first saw the sign in the box to be would be to sign up for our free newsletter, and you have a chance to win. So we're already getting them. They already know they're signing up for the newsletter, not just giving us their email.
Right.
And I think that's actually better, too, because then people know what they're going to get. And then that could same thing could be done at trade shows. Rather than just give us your email, sign up for a free. And we could have a copy of the newsletter there, you know, so they could see what they're going to get. And that's going to purify that list more. And then they're already opted into it. And, you know, we have the software. There's no work on our part. If they opt out, they're automatically removed. Nobody has to go in and delete them.
So the only physical part would be, the only man part would be entering the email addresses.
What?
Yeah, it's, you know.
What would you think? Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah, Control-Alt-Delete. Oh, oops.
And I did
think
that
the key
once.
Is to make
no,
it
Mom,
as
I'll do it.
As possible.
Because they're in there, they're on vacation, they want to, you know, in and out. I mean, that might be
it's
a
valuable still a good,
for some
it
people.
It still could be a valuable tool and a good opportunity.
What I think helps in the form, for I know the handwriting thing that Ed speaks of, because, again, within many organizations I'm involved with, too, you look at the sign-up sheet and it's like, I got. Is that like when you go to buy a U.S. savings bond and you fill it out, the actual blank has the square boxes there, so there's a space between the letters. Like when you fill out a government form, you give them, you know, or the typical email, even if it's 20 characters, 25 characters, in the square boxes, so at least the letters are separated. If they have to do cursive, they can't connect them. They have to print them in each of the boxes.
That's not a bad idea.
And that way you're control. I've learned from, again, like you said, your eyes, you just, you're mad because you can't figure
especially
it out.
Especially your eyes.
Yes, know, very bad. You know. So that would definitely be one way to keep the handwriting
that's
straight.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
One more thing.
Yes.
we had the perfect segue, and I wanted to thank David for that, but then we moved on and I missed it. But I would like to bring up the fact that Morro Bay is having a family fun 4th of July in the park, Tidelands Park, this year.
Do that again?
A family fun 4th of July in the park. Oh, here it comes. Anyway, I want to invite everybody to come to the 4th of July at Tidelands Park. We will have fireworks. Excellent. Thank you, Bobby. And we are still collecting money. Thank you.
Okay, good. Moving on then, can we go to item B, the budget report? We can make this quick. I just have call your attention to the last page, the bottom line. Here we are at the end of May. We have obviously the bills being collected this month and so on. We have a balance at this point at the end of May available of $37,000. John, do you have a feel for how we're doing?
Been spent.
But not $45,000.
Hmm?
But not $45,000? Because we only have $37,000 available?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm asking you?
Where did you get 45?
I was a number. I could have come up with 50 or 80.
No, I'm confident we'll
okay.
be on budget.
Okay.
We did, you know, we have just periodically have to go through and look at and see where we're at. And we still have the what's not reported in here is May and June. So, and May is a fairly heavy month.
Some of
then paid probably by the end of that month. So we're always about 2 months behind.
Oh, okay.
So what's on here is probably April.
Okay.
And we still have May and June, the two months left to do that.
Okay.
And our average expenditures are around $20,000 a month on average.
Okay.
And we have Sunset in May. We have LA Times in May. So there's quite a bit of activity that still won't show up on that sheet.
Okay. I just hate for us to sit down at our subcommittee meeting and then find out afterwards, oh, we just cut ourselves some more because of the...
I don't think that'll happen.
We're okay. You've been saying all along that we should be in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Fair enough. And there's no sense... we did discuss at our last meeting, but we're definitely, due to a couple conversations that I had, we are going to, in our subcommittee meeting, we will be devising or coming up with a spreadsheet separate from this financial statement that will more accurately describe the activities of the promotions committee so that everybody can read them. We are strapped by having to work with the current city chart of accounts, and that those chart of accounts, when they were originally set up, I think it's part of the administration's department. And so those account numbers, I've seen these account numbers show up in the under administration in the budget. I've seen them, some of the numbers. So they just fall in. They're not a separate set of numbers just for the promotions committee. So they're part of the big picture for the city. So so therefore, that's why you look and you see things like 6105 consulting $9,200. Well, you know, I explained to one of our council people when I met with them that we're not paying John Sorgenfrey $9,200 as a consultant. That $9,200 was an expenditure we made in 2001 for the conversion study, and it's never been changed. So we're going to what we're going to do is we're going to adapt these numbers when we get our budget, and we are going to create our own spreadsheet that we'll give to you every month. It'll be easy to plug the numbers into, and so you'll be able to see exactly what. You know, where we're going, and if we need to distribute that to council for clarification, we'll do that too. So I wanted to make that note, and otherwise that's all on the budget. Also in your report is the TOT currently, and TOT collected is also down for April, and I can tell you that for me what in essence what happened. And we talked about this a little bit last month, and again, not trying but just an explanation in my opinion. What happened was is that the weather that we had in March, it really hurt. It hurt all of our businesses because people didn't travel because of all the rain that we had in March. And last year, spring break was in March. and so, in last year. So then you go to then you go to April, and for us, we didn't have. I'm backwards. Spring break was in I had backwards. Spring break was in April last year, and it was in March this year. So we had bad weather, spring break, and even though it was spring break, it really didn't help us. So not only were we down in March, but now you come into April without spring break this year, and it really that's my explanation for why you know why the deficit, you know, besides. And I think just overall, I'm blaming it all on the weather, frankly, because May
up in March over last year, this year,
and that's because spring break was
spring break, and the trend seems to be for the last 3 months that the good trend is that it's increasing.
Right.
Even April this month we went up 3% more from the month previous. So this year we are increasing,
but not compared to April of last year. But you would expect it to increase because the season's increasing and changing. It better increase or we're all in trouble.
Well, and remember, too, that we also have this year, average gas prices are 80 cents a gallon higher than they were a year ago. And so obviously we're, you know, 221 miles from Los Angeles and 268 miles from the Bay Area, and that's probably affecting folks.
I still think, and I'll say it over and over again, the state park closing was the biggest hit on this community for that entire last year, and we're just going to start coming out of it. And it affects the TOT. It affects everything. I mean, people didn't come to Morro Bay because that state park was closed. And it's my business saw it. I've never taken a hit in my business in 8-10 years. And last year, we took a hit. And it's... I know it's the state park. As soon as the state park opens.
Well, let's hope so. Okay, moving on then. If there's no other questions, our ad agency report, John, you've got all of 6 seconds.
No, I'm kidding. Actually, a couple things were covered. I'll just reiterate again that we probably need to have a budget subcommittee meeting fairly soon because if we're looking at some of the traditional things we did, like sunset and things like that, we're starting to look at those for the fall. What I'd like to do is I really think that it's going to be more than just looking at our media choices and figuring out, you know, where we go. I think it's really going to be a new marketing plan that's going to encompass, as I said, the internet and PR. So if the committee would like, I can present that to the budget subcommittee, have that refined, and then bring that to the next meeting for approval. Because we're, you know, even though we've got a couple of months before fall starts, we're planning right. I mean, we're just making decisions right now what will affect fall. And certainly the PR and you know, the website, there's no reason why we can't do those right now. I mean, even because a lot of those things aren't going to have any financial impact other than the agencies and
we're going to get hit again.
Right.
So we decided that, you know, rather than do that and go
through,
that we wanted to wait and see what the outcome was.
Yeah, we already had it figured out. And then
I kind of got reassured, and I hope maybe Bob could confirm this, but maybe not because it isn't finalized yet. But after the last budget hearing, I asked Janice, and not to put her on the spot, but I just asked, I said, we haven't met again because the last time was kind of tough, and you know, we made all these preliminary decisions and went back. Now we're going back to the drawing board. I said, are we kind of like through getting sliced up? And she said, yeah, I think so. So that made me feel a little bit better about being able to move forward with a deal like so. Well, given
I think the council's intent is to concentrate on certain things at their next meeting. However, having said that, the whole budget is still before them until it's adopted.
Right.
So.
Right. But I feel a little bit more comfortable anyway, at least going ahead and scheduling that meeting. And yes, I mean, we would have been before this committee with a preliminary marketing plan, as we have in past years before now.
Right.
But due to the budget, you know, constraints and changes, we just, you know, decided not to necessarily waste our time. So. Now we can move forward, and we'll do that, and then bring back a proposal.
Create a lot of new pictures. We really made an effort to try to incorporate the design of the destination guide to have that emulate itself onto the website. So now we have our print, our fulfillment, which meaning the destination guide, and our website all sort of in the same general look and feel, and that'll help in our branding efforts. And then part of the marketing plan will be talking about web design and kind of where we go from here, and content and upkeep and all of that, because again, that is going to be our fulfillment. It has in the past, but it's going to have to be even more so because that is there and it's cost effective for us. So hope everybody liked it. I did get some favorable comments from several committee members that took a look at it and thought that that was a good approach. It's, as Billy knows, and I think everybody else knows, that it's a never-ending process. I mean, we got to keep that fresh, and that will be part of my proposal to figure out ways to get in there and make it continue to make it unique for people to come so we can have them keep coming back. I think the webcam will be a big part of that because that's something that's always evolving and changing, and people will go back to that. That's pretty much all I had.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Any questions, John?
I'd just like to say
I want to know how you guys got to be under monthly reports and the other subcommittees are down under new business. Did you have something to do with it? It is. I guess it was definitely a priority thing. Item D, Public Relations Subcommittee Report. Mr. Clayton.
Well, we had a quick meeting.
Quick?
Well, let's say we put together a quick response as I found out 3 days before that I was the chair of this committee.
Yeah, let me go into this. Okay.
First it was I found out I was on the committee, and then as we got at the meeting and were talking, I think I finally turned around to David and said, am I the chair of this committee? Because they kept referring that way. So we had a meeting and came up with we did a lot of discussing and brainstorming and had a very good meeting. One of the things that I think was most important is we're kind of coming back to you for some direction as far as what exactly are we? PR subcommittee, public relations, about our taking advantage of things that are already happening in the city, such as the skateboard championships, the bird festival, the car show, some of the things that aren't covered, like the skateboard. There's a surf contest that happens here every year. These are could be very big events, I would think, if they're promoted a little bit better. We've kind of, as a promotion committee, I think we haven't taken advantage of the fact that we have these events already in place. They're happening every year, and we don't do anything to promote them. We kind of leave it up to them to promote themselves. And so that's an area we thought we should definitely get more involved in, especially calling local news, KSBY, local channels, trying to get them to do more coverage of those events and broadcast live. There are all kinds of things we could do to help push those events. And those should be big draws. There's no reason why this town isn't packed for that skateboard. They've increased contacting other organizations that are already doing things in other communities and seeing if we can garner some ideas from them of what are they doing to promote themselves, what can we do. Also, we talked a little bit about Amtrak and some of the things that are happening there, and I'm going to let David talk a little bit more on this since he's kind of spearheaded it, and he brought us some information on something, a little flyer that can be on the Amtrak that they'd print for us. I mean, this was like, one of the things we have problems with is the expenditure on a print. So I'm going to flip it over to David on that one.
If I could, just before David does, just to answer your question about, what's this for, because it really kind of came from my request, because, again, getting back to the importance of PR, which we've kind of gone over and over today, but what I need is somebody inside the city to give me the information, like the scape, you know, the events, because I'm willing to, at no cost, really, other than my own, to get my staff to send out press, basically having a liaisons, and then I'll do the other part.
Perfect.
I mean, I'll get the releases out, I'll write them, and so then all of us kind of brainstorming too. But you're right. I mean, the first thing was the events, and I think that, just to answer your question about promoting the events, I think in the past there was always a fear, and this is when we were talking about dollars, not PR, that if we start with one, then we're going to have to start spending money to promote, you know, lighted boat parade, spending money, well, which we do, but you know, every event, there weren't going to have people coming to us and asking for us for help. Well, PR is different. You know, I think we should promote the events, and I'm willing, again, I think we have to do everything we can, you know, next year and years beyond, to do as much coverage. So I think it's great to do that. I think we should promote the existing events. To organize new ones, it's tough because there's infrastructure, and again, under the budget constraints, how are we going to stage another event? Because they cost money. But the ones we have, let's go for it, and
right.
Let's promote it.
Here's one that we brought up, and it came out of the conversation that Billy had, where he said his analysis that the revenue was falling short because the state park wasn't there. And if you saw the city council meeting this past week, and the first public speaker got up and said, state park had a ribbon cutting, and no one was there. No KSBY, and that kind of thing. I mean, that was the comment made.
I'd like to address a photo opportunity for the entity. So the state park was in control of that, and I know that the person who made the comment misunderstood and thought it was the chamber who didn't invite anyone. It's not our position to do so. There were PR people there, and KSBY was invited. They chose not to go for whatever reason. All of the press, printed press, was invited, and so there is some miscommunication there. And Dan Eller from Hearst Castle was in charge of that, and he has records that all of those people were contacted. So I just wanted to clarify that, because I do know that the facts, and I apologize for any misunderstanding, but the chamber doesn't invite the public to ribbon cuttings. Those are photo opportunities, and the chamber is invited to them.
Well, maybe then the future plan is, you know, that this is good on paper and decides things, but now in this proactive world of non-revenue or non-expenditure advertising, is to say, fine, we will change the definition of what the ribbon cutting is so that it does attract the press and the attention that it can deserve. It's seeing it now not as a bureaucratic function, but as a freebie PR thing, and anything illicit or illegitimate about it. But obviously, it is a dog-eat-dog world for a viewer's 20 seconds of attention on television these days.
Well, I think it's important, too, because, and it sounds like the media was contacted. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are times when I send out a press release and I think that, you know, we're going to be jammed and we're going to have every network there because it's a big story, and none of them show. And then I'm almost embarrassed to send them, you know, something else, and they all show up. And it really relates to what they're doing, what's on their schedule, what's on the blackboard that day. And I know Ed knows this because he's worked in radio for a long time. But that's not to say but what's important about that is you need to send it out all the time, because there will be, it's like fishing, you know, you're not going to catch a fish every time, but if your line's in the water, you're going to catch more. And that's exactly what PR is. And I think Morro Bay has been beat up a lot because of some negative press. So anything, we have anything positive. So it's not just about tourism. It's anything that's happening in the city that we can put a nice positive spin to it for our local people as well. Because, you know, I'm of the feeling that we all approach this that the glass is half full instead of half empty. And I really honestly am approaching this whole activity in that way. And I think that's the same thing with PR. I mean, there's a lot of good things that are happening here. And so that's, again, getting back to what the Public Relations Committee can do is to, you know.
Of that woodpecker that everyone thought had been extinct, right? Well, there's a town now that's going to have a birding festival and a birding thing based on this one thing. And it was because it had a homespun, natural feeling about it. NPR just went nuts over that kind of nature reporting. And now you're right. Here's a town that was, you know, dried up. Cajun logging town or whatever is now going to become famous for everyone's going to come there to see this bird. So,
Bob, do you know, does all the does any of the press or the press that's generated or publicity that's generated on things that happen city-wise from the Embarcadero project, you know, I'm talking about your business of running the city. Is there anybody that gets press releases out, or does we pretty much rely on the news picking up the story on their own, depending on what it is?
What are you asking?
What I'm asking is that what I heard from Janice and what I heard, I'm feeling, and again, until we talk about it more, I really don't know, but I wanted to ask because of the PR thing, was that it seems like this committee is heading towards publicity beyond tourism. In other words, it's not just to attract the traveler, it's to also generate publicity locally over any major thing, the dredge being in town. You know, in other words, is it may possibly things like that up to us to make sure KSBY gets a picture? I'm just using that as an example. Picture of the dredge.
I think it's a good example.
Field dock.
Yeah. I think the arrival of the dredge was covered as news, and I think the media knew about it based upon efforts within the Harbor Department and to some extent the Corps of Engineers itself, because while they do the work, they also use that program as a sort of a PR campaign. But the way that happens depends on what the subject matter is that you're talking about. And I was thinking of events as you were talking about the events. Some events are the city has a role in, like certain kinds of recreational activities, and the city promotes them through various publications that the city is able to put out.
Like the Tides.
Yeah, that okay. sort of thing. Other things the city isn't directly involved in, and any publicity that's associated with them, and I'm thinking maybe of the skateboard event, that kind of thing, is done. It's a commercial enterprise, and it's done by the enterprise itself. And the city's role in it is a supportive role in terms of permitting the activity and the kinds of, you know, barricades or, you know, whatever goes along with it. So that in that case, the city doesn't have a direct role in promoting it. And I think what John's talking about is hopefully having some eyes and ears on the ground within the city so that irrespective of what kind of box the event or issue fits in, that somehow he's alerted to the fact that it's going to occur so that he can write or put out a material or information that's appropriate to the event or the issue. And it might be something that looks like a news story, or it might be something that looks a little different. It would depend on the subject matter what that would be. But what I'm understanding is he's hoping that people who are sort of focused on these issues can go, oh, the dredge is coming. It's coming on Tuesday and whatever basic information we have. We'll let John know, and he can follow up and make sure that we milk whatever benefit we can out of it.
So you don't see if we jump on this as a committee, there's no one within your organization that you know of that we'd be duplicating efforts with. I guess that's what I'm.
What happens in reality in the city most of the time is if we have most of our issues are not event related necessarily. They're issue related, and depending on what it is, a department within the city may issue a press release. I'm thinking now, I'm remembering the police department's issued a couple over the last couple of months based on things that have happened. And those are designed as public information, and they're designed to sort of describe what's going on and provide a contact point in the city. They do that. There's usually a contact point in the police department or the public works department or whatever, depending on what the issue is. And we do those. Those are generated within the city by various people in the city for various purposes. They happen all the time. A few of those are probably things that John would be interested in. Most of them would not be, I suspect.
Well, I'm thinking off the top of my head, you brought up a good example. I mean, it may be good to try to get something out on the new DARE vehicle. As an example.
That's kind of a fun thing. I expect that you'll see something like that.
Yeah. So would it be appropriate? Maybe to part of that eyes and ears on the ground is maybe be able to get an email or a note off to the department heads, you know, like Rick, if he knows of something going on, you know, to do with the harbor that might be of interest to people, to say, hey, you know, let John know. He's our new, you know, or not new, but, you know, kind of create a point man with.
Yeah.
Is that something like that okay?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to, I mean, I'm making an offer. I mean, I'm willing to do this because it's going to help. You know, really it comes down to being that simple. But I can't do it unless I have the information. I don't need it written to nobody. I know everybody's busy. They got their own businesses to do. But if I get copy points, specific copy points, though, so I don't have to keep calling back, and because it's going to take time just to get the release written and sent out. But the reality is that, you know, we have our fax machine program. So, I mean, I push one button, and it goes to all the radio stations, all the TV stations, all the newspapers. And it's, you know, very easy for us to do that part of it. But, you know, we will write the releases. We'll follow up. And, you know, there'll be bigger ones and lesser ones. You know, I was going to bring up how these can work to the benefit of tourism. You know, look at what we did years ago with the Endeavor. And, you know, the key there was that, and this may be part of what we'll do as we meet for our public relations subcommittee, will be to identify those mega events that we really want to work way out. Because what happened with the Endeavor, excuse me, we knew about it way in advance, and we had a lot of time to plan it. So then I could go to Charter, to Ed Merrill, and say, how'd you like to have some fun? You know, this would be really a fun thing for you to get involved in. And so, you know, what came of that was we had, excuse me, more people attending that event than any other port in California. I mean, we beat Newport, we beat Ventura, and it really was publicity. I mean, there was no other reason for it because we made that, we had that, I don't know if anybody recalls, but, you know, we had a documentary that we got from the Endeavor people. And I had people calling me going, you know, take that thing off. I already know how to build the ship. You know, so we created this ship coming, and it was like this huge thing. And I tell you, I mean, it was a rewarding thing for me because, you know, the people on the ship just said, amazing. You know, I mean, we had so many people. And
well, I mean, part of that was the fact that the Endeavor themselves had their act together.
Yeah.
They really did. And the other thing was, didn't you work for them? Didn't you do
I did afterwards.
You did afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't work for them before.
Before it was.
And what they liked about us was that Morro Bay was willing to go the extra mile, you know, and they were willing. You're right. They were a good PR candidate because they were willing to take, you know, be interviewed on the, you know, they're coming, they're out at sea and they're calling in live on the radio stations. They had an organization together where they had the documentaries that we could use. So that all made, you know, it helped. But it really was where we got all the media together to feel like this was going to be really a cool thing to do. And another part of it is it's a fun product. I mean, it's kind of neat. It's like a pirate ship, you know, I mean, it's kind of fun.
But even the dredge could be exciting if you like dredges, and I don't know that the dredge. Now let's just okay. Remember, open your mind real wide on this one. But in this narrow cast market where there are, I'm discovering so many niche hobbies that people have. There was a group in New York I found by accident many years ago, and I only found out this from two really weird guys who looked like Chip and Dale who worked at a toy train store. The Society for Industrial Archaeology, which I sent the $10 to join just because it was so bizarre. These people go around the states on tours of old blast furnaces. That's their turn on. Now, I'm not saying that the dredge fits in that category, but to people, if it looks like an old piece of marine, and I'm saying the dredge is the perfect example, not necessarily a vintage piece of marine equipment or something like that. When I heard or saw that the old Dome Car Amtrak was in town, I just happened to be driving to Trader Joe's. The next day I went there to see if it came back the second day so I could take a picture of it. There are niche markets, and if you Google an SB-77 dredge of such and such a type, and you get the list, and it comes up, and here are these societies for the love and preservation of vintage dredges, that's one where you can push the email button and get that alert out, and that's just a few Googles away from taking something unusual. And I don't know how many harbors are dredged by a vintage dredge on the West Coast, but where if we bring you that information, it's just a few Google clicks away from finding the audience potentially for it.
Yeah, I mean, there will be specifics like obviously anything with birding. I mean, that's going to be a much greater interest to, you know, birders world. But I think also on the dredging and what I was talking about as far as positive press, you know, in advertising and in PR, they always say you want to sell benefits, not features. So, you know, the aspect of the dredge, I mean, how's that going to benefit boating, and how's that going to, you know, it's there's a finality to that that's going to make it better for tourism, and it's a positive story. And that's really where, you know, you just want to, I think that the, it's simple. I mean, we want to just get out as much positive information about Morro Bay locally and internationally and domestically as we can. I mean, it's that simple.
I think, are we still in the, we're still in the subcommittee report? Are we, are the,
right.
One of the issues was to look at other locations as see similar things that what have been done. And one of the things we looked at the internet in the coffee shop yesterday was, Bob, actually not the first one I had. There's another one. Would you mind typing in? I mean, I don't have my glasses, so I'm really going to... This is going to look very bad on TV, so keep a wide shot on this. www.fermata, FermataInc.com. Is anyone here nearsighted?
I am.
Could I possibly maybe just see if the prescription might get me?
Oh, yeah, but these are... transition lenses, so look at the top of
it. Oh, the top is okay. The top is working better there for me. Thank you.
That's great. Well, yes, I can't see a thing on the screen.
Okay, I don't know.
Oh, it's over
okay,
here.
There you go. Fermata Inc. This is the fella who pretty much put bird and nature tourism on the map. It's, that's what it says right at the top, the business of nature. And is there a search box up there? I'm looking, or a search somewhere on the bottom. There it is, lower to the left. Is that it? The yeah. little white box?
Yep.
There you go. Put in maritime heritage. No, excuse me. Put in lumber heritage. Lumber and the word heritage. And see where that takes you in the report, because I'm kind of driving blind on this one. No, I realize when I ride my bike, I don't like to wear my glasses. In the event I would fall or have a bike accident, I would destroy the glasses. And so I guess I could have prescription safety goggles made. What are we getting?
Let's see. It's got six results here. It's got a calendar for the Lumber Heritage Interactive a planning team.
We'll try one of those. Let's see if that takes us where we were yesterday.
Here's their calendar.
What we're looking for, I guess that, go back then, was he took an area in like an Appalachia kind of dried up stump town of a has-been hillbilly area where it had long since dried up and blown away, and he re-envisioned it as a lumber international lumber heritage. That's what you do with, right? An abandoned mill town becomes a lumber heritage site, and through that, it gets approved as such by the Smithsonian. Then it becomes eligible for federal grants for preservation. And the next thing you know, the whole town is revitalized, a blowing away dusty town, as a lumber heritage site with museum to the... I mean, what devastated the town actually now becomes its selling point. Talk about a spin on things. And so I suddenly thought, kind of an older fishing fleet that's re-envisioning it as a maritime heritage site, as a world or state maritime heritage site, and you take an industry that might be having difficulty, right, it's like the same thing with the lumber, and you re-envision it not as the fishing industry paying for itself as fish, as people coming to watch people fish because it's a dying thing. And this fellow is the fellow who puts together the grants and does the consulting that makes these things happen, and the site lists place after place where he's managed to pull that off. And I think that comes under one here, contacting professional organizations and individuals that promote this kind of tourism to see what's done at other locations. And I'm wondering if that is a broad question to what should be the focus, again, of this. Not, I'm looking at John only because you happen to be sitting right here. I'm not saying this is the advertising PR thing. Yes, it's about the closest that I can get. But the idea of if that should be a focus of what this PR subcommittee does as well is identify these people, because this is big picture stuff for Morro Bay. He's taken, like I said, small places, and he thinks not $10,000 or $20,000, but $1 million sustainable economies for these kind of places, if that might be the kind of recommendations or to issue a report or to initiate contact with these type of people. And this, again, is these are broader city promotions.
I think that it's probably an order of priorities. I mean, I think that certainly would be important, but like we probably start with, like as you started with your discussion, you know, the events we currently have. We kind of work our way down, because obviously, you know, the ones that have greatest appeal, the ones that are easiestly attainable, But certainly Morro Bay has attractions that are specific to people, birding, you know, kayaking, you know, the things that we have to offer, our unique selling points will be what we'd want to promote.
I don't know. Actually, I'm sorry, wait, did you say power plant?
I did. No. I said power plant tours.
Okay, but here's an even more visionary. I know, again, and I've
still
already
like the idea of making a lighthouse out of this.
Well, actually, how about we go totally 22nd century now? Do you have that other website I had found there? Let's just take a look at this, and it actually has the word tourism in it. And it goes with power plant, but it looks way ahead. Okay, I don't have my glasses on, but it looks like
when the wind
a windmill. Right, in Nebraska. Now, I want you to scroll down to the last three paragraphs. And I might have to actually get up from my seat and walk over there because of how blind I am now. But there may be more wind turbines on the horizon, but they want to take advantage of the two that are here. The Turtle Butte Lodge is a refurbished hotel that aims to draw guests by hosting trail rides and other outdoor experiences. If they can supply some jobs and the wind and bring in more jobs and help develop tourism, that's what it's about. The Twin Towers outside the town may draw more visitors to Springview. People who might eat a meal at one of the town's cafes is sure going to pull tourists in. They're the first two in Nebraska. People are going to want to know what they look like. It's hard to say exactly what kind of future is blowing in the wind, but Springview's village board makes a cautious prediction. We will maybe see a picture of these on our license plates someday. So power plant is maybe the existing power plant is maybe not drawing tourists in, but I sometimes, because my apartment terrace up on Surf Street looks out north, and right now I see those the high tension wires marching across the hills north of town, and I know that, well, they're there and we're used to looking at it. I look through them and I see the coast, but since there's already towers on those hills, and you know how windy it's been this spring, is it just me or it's been like a really windy spring up here? I mean, I've only been able to have dinner outside on my terrace once since January, when you could eat and the cold wind didn't make the food cold right away. Imagine a couple of windmills to be the first coastal town in all of California to have coastal ocean current, wind, ocean air, wind being done on Highway 1 between Monterey and Los Angeles. Right, anyone who's going to Big Sur or any of those places on one has to pass through and see the windmills like they've done here in Nebraska, where you actually solve an energy problem. The city actually then gets credit for helping solve the California energy crisis, and it becomes a tourist attraction, just like in Palm Springs. They get the tourists who go to see the wind farms all on their way to Palm Springs. You can't help but pass it and stop in Cabazon and get a date shake and all those things that go with that. So when you did say power plant, that's 20th century. The 21st century version would be this kind of thing. Again, I don't know if, you know, where is part of the subcommittee's goal, of course, it is promotions, not just in terms of advertising and specific news print media, but is it also a big picture? Yes, the city budget is not looking at windmills tomorrow, but just putting it out there, because you never know what investor somewhere or speculator or person might say, well, there's a place that has some potential. So again, I don't know if that's part of the focus, is who devises the master plan? I mean, sort of like the 2020 document, I guess, where we fit in that 2020 vision of what could be for the city.
Well, I think that could come from this marketing plan, and it also kind of derives from, you know, us meeting and just deciding, you know, how we all want to take it. I mean, your input's valuable too. I think it started as simply, though, as Bob said, as just having some people on the ground that can feed me the copy points to get press releases out. It starts that simple, and then it evolves maybe to this, to being this sophisticated. But
well,
that
becomes part of our, as the PR subcommittee, is that
right?
That's what we're out there looking for.
Right.
What is there that we could send to you?
Right.
With as much information.
Right.
Okay.
And I think letting others know about what you're up to. In other words, like I was talking to Bob about, you know, about Rick, you know, Algert, what's going on in the harbor? You know, if you got anything going on, I don't care what it is, send it to John and see if there might be some interest. I don't think that everything happens. I don't think you contacting the organization that develops this, revitalized thing, I don't think you need direction from the promotions committee to do that. You know, I really don't. I think that, you know, I think like John says, it's a priority issue, But just like with our advertising, when we had a bigger budget, we knew where our base was. It was in the Southern California and in the San Joaquin Valley. And if we had $100 extra to spend, we started dabbling in places we wanted to try, San Francisco, mm-hmm. Sacramento, and those Northern California areas. And so I think that as time permits, I would welcome seeing, you know, yeah, okay, well, we're talking about the surf contest and this and this, but boy, here's this little piece over here that, you know, we might start, you know, playing with.
I think the Naturals are like the Maritime, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that Morro Bay's got a long history, you know, the Deep Diver, you know, is another aspect of it. I mean, there's a real heritage there. You know, those things are probably, in order of priorities, it's the day-to-day, it's already in events. Then it's probably what's natural for us, which is the, you know, maritime and nature, and then we kind of, you know, go out into the specifics.
Is there still a push for the Maritime Museum?
Yes.
Is there somebody still spearheading
yes.
that?
Yeah,
yes.
I haven't heard much about
yeah.
it, but that would
okay.
be a wonderful thing
yes.
to have.
I'll talk to you. We'd like to get his.
Yeah, they're... I don't know officially where they are, but I know that there's the group.
There is a group.
Yes.
Okay.
And they were actually that, you know, going back to the Endeavor, I mean, they were really very helpful, too. Mm-hmm. They were our partners in that.
You know, who would probably be best and can I give you the name is Rick.
Okay.
Albert. Yeah, if you call Rick, he'll know. He'll know who's you know, who to talk to.
Yeah, because connecting them with that Fermata.
Mm-hmm.
Might be very helpful for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can we move on?
I was just saying that the one thing about the train was, as I say, Amtrak has said, I spoke to the VP marketing guy, that if we see, this is, goes with the Car Free Santa Barbara, but they had the program, but they created Car Free. Amtrak did pay. They will print these up and put them in the stations, and I've happened to pick this one up in the lounge car on the train. It has all the events, the Earth Day Festival, Summer Solstice Parade, Spanish Days Fiesta, Harbor Festival. I mean, it gives all the summer's worth of things. So create the thing, and they will pay to print this and put this on in the lounge cars. Once you have a Car Free or some kind of a program that'll do it, they will chip in on that way in the promotion.
Okay, great. Anything else? All righty. Move on to item E, which will be very quick because Meredith isn't here, and she's our conversion study administrator. So we'll forego item E today, if that's okay. Moving to new business, report from the subcommittee on the budget. Again, we're not giving you a report today. We would have, but we'll bring you a report now that we feel a little more comfortable about the bottom line of our next year's budget. And we'll get to give this coming next couple of weeks, and then we'll get back to the group in July. The report on the subcommittee on the tourism assessment study, we are at the survey stage. Last month, there was a concern over whether or not we could even use the Cal Poly study that was generated because it's a state document and there was contractual issues and so. John has kindly suggested that we develop our own survey and that not even bother with using the Cal Poly document, the state document, I should say. And so that's where we're headed right now, is to develop that survey on our own. And then we'll worry about number crunching when the time comes. But I think generating the complete surveys first is the most important part. That's all I have on that. And then is there a report on the webcam?
Yes, there is. And I'm happy to report that we have ordered the camera. We are waiting for its arrival. And our target date is July 2nd for its unveiling. So we're doing as quickly as we can on the process, but we're waiting for it to show up at our door. So,
wow, great! So the decision's been made. Yay! Good job.
Thank you.
Either moving on, then I guess we have a declaration. Any other future agenda items? I know that we have the two from earlier. Well, that was pretty easy. I guess I just wanted to real quickly, before we go and not to drag it back up again, but I know that when I was on the executive committee of the chamber about 4 years ago, we sat down and actually had a face-to-face meeting, Kim and Steph, when we were at Ascot with the head of the surfing contest people. And I don't know if you probably continue to meet with them every year. It was very, very interesting. You know, just because there's an event going on doesn't always mean that you can just go out and just start promoting it and stuff, because you need some help on the other end, like the people who are actually putting the event together. And we had a tough time. I mean, I left that meeting going, this guy just comes down and does this. And it's amazing. You know, it's like, well, you got to almost build a whole event around this guy, completely different than the skateboard thing. But that's the way I felt, was it was not an automatic, you know, no-brainer deal. I mean, you know, well, he wanted us to put some food booths out there. I mean, you could build a whole Harbor Festival type atmosphere around this surfing contest, but you know, it was really difficult. He was tough to work with, and I don't mean monetarily or nothing.
Right.
It was just, you know, I mean, he's a surfer.
That's what my first question.
Dude, you got to learn the
that's
lingo.
That's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. But my first thought was, let's then not have chamber people meeting with him, but let's get the local surf rider chapter people to meet with him to talk their language. Because, yeah, I've only surfed 8, 9, 10, 12 times, but not also the best victim either for that. But, yes, bring in surfers to meet with him. And I say, I get like Surf Rider done. And then what we do is we get the Surf Rider mailing list. And that, and or the other Surf Rider chapters, because they're obviously the people who know it. And they're suddenly email names and lists, because they do collect names, because I know a Surf Rider Foundation does. And then you put together a package, you get their mailing list. Here's the Surf Observe Surf Moral Weekend. Borrow their list, hit send, and now you'll hit surfers from San Diego to Eureka. Mm-hmm. To know about this.
And even on a local level?
Resentment from the local surfers. Because if it's a really good weekend and there are really big waves, they resent that the competitive heats are happening in the good area near the rock, and they've got to swim further away for the out-of-towners who come in. So, you know, it's almost like West Side Story of the surf. You know, the gangs are there. But, I think that... There you go. Yeah, the sharks, literally, and the jets.
But see, that may be another part of our plan is local education of how important those people are, because the beach that gets cleaned up. Well, I don't know if this would be a good example if the city cleans the beach, but the infrastructure that lets them go out and surf and do all that is paid in big part by those out of towners. So that's a whole other. Story, another part of our PR, that letting people know the value of tourism and how those people coming are actually benefiting their life and their service.
I was just suggesting, the only reason I brought up it wasn't to harbor on it, but I thought it was just interesting that it isn't necessarily always automatic, you know, and the Bird Festival is another one. And, you know, we really can't grow anymore. Okay, well, what are we doing promoting it for? That's the, you know, that's part of the message I got.
So, no, I think that's a good point, because you were at a test where there's just a guy putting it on, and, you know, so there's going to be challenges.
It's very successful in his own world. It is. It's a very successful event. But, boy, I tell you what, it was like pulling teeth to try to figure out how to exploit it. I mean, that's what we're after, is try to exploit mm-hmm. these events, you know, as best we can.
Well, anyway. And, you know, some of it just may be we start off small. We just announce it. You know, that's all it comes down to. Maybe that's how we start, you know, and then
the Chamber does do that in their newsletter. You know, that's a great source for, you know, mm-hmm. information, at least locally amongst the membership, if nothing else, is the fact that I know that the surf contest is out there and those kind of things that we know about when we read the newsletter.
I just mean expand it.
Sure. Any other agenda items? We get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. We are out of here. Thank you very much. See you next month with a budget.